You're listening to the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 94.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What is going on, everybody? It's Alex Pardo here. Thank you once again for joining me on another Masterclass Flip Empire Show here. I've mentioned this in the past, but just in case you're new to the show, I really want to thank you. There's so many podcasts out there, and there's an opportunity for you to consume content from a variety of different places. So the fact that you're tuning in here to listen to me talk is, I don't take it lightly. I really, really appreciate it. My goal is always to try to over-deliver and provide as much value and content as possible. And I really don't think that you're going to find today's show, if you've been listening for a while, any different. I'm always looking to grow and expand my network and get around high-level thinkers and people that are doing they're doing good in their market, and they're, you know, people that I can connect with. And so today's expert, before I bring him on, just kind of want to set the table here. And then we're going to talk a little bit. He's got a very unique story. You may have heard me mention in the past that maybe about 6-7 months ago, I attended a workshop out in St. Louis with Sean McCloskey and Joe McCall. And it was a small group of maybe about 11, 12 people. And so I met Brian Tripp, who I'm about to bring on here in a second. Super, super cool guy, down to earth. We had so much in common. I think a lot of our core values were the same. And so, you know, him and I kept in contact, and he just launched a podcast, which is starting to grow. It's based on, you know, real estate in Alabama, which is his market in Birmingham. And just a super, super cool guy. And he's out there doing it. You know, he didn't get started in real estate too long ago. I want to say back in maybe 2012 or 13 is when he got started in real estate. And I don't want to tell you too much about his story because I want to make sure that, you know, that I don't want to kind of steal his thunder. So, Brian, having said that, man, I appreciate you you being on the show.
What's going on, Alex? I'm so grateful to be here, man.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you, man. So, yeah, I know I just kind of teased the audience. I know you have a unique story. Tell us about that, man. How did you, like, tell us about your story and how you ended up getting into real estate, and then we'll kind of get into the meat of the show here.
Yeah. So, you know, I know you like to talk a lot about the failures in real estate and the failures and stuff, because we can all learn from those. I think it's very important. So my story is I'm the 28, 29 year old, living in my dad's basement, have a really bad job, playing video games till 4 a.m. and just the laziest person on earth. And it took a lot of kind of self-evaluation. I got married kind of right after that. And just had this a super lazy mentality, never thought I could ever be rich, resented rich people, resented just wealth in general, just the whole gamut. I was a college, kind of turned into a college basketball coach. I did a lot of AAU work, and then I did some graduate work at UAB, the University of Alabama at Birmingham. And then I was fortunate enough to go down to Troy, Troy University, okay, down in Troy, Alabama, and coach. Division one college basketball is very, very cool. I love doing it. I just didn't make a whole lot of money. So, it was there. It was really through basketball that I learned, work ethic, self-accountability, you know, the things that really any successful business person, entrepreneur needs to have. You got to have that, because you don't have a boss that's going to tell you what to do. You're your boss. So you better have that self-accountability. So if you don't have it, you're probably not going to be a successful entrepreneur.
Yep.
And so just learning work ethic, learning, you know, coming early, staying late. I was the film guy. I would cut up the film. I would do the scouting reports, the video scouting reports. At Troy, I actually got to do the video and written scouting reports. And wow. I was in charge of the film sessions.
Very cool,
and
man.
So that's when you really, really learn basketball. Not that this is a basketball show, is by doing all the film and stuff. So that's how I learned self-accountability. And so now I'm trying to answer your actual question, how do I get into real estate? So it was one of my drives. I was commuting back and forth from Birmingham. It was about a 2-hour and 15-minute drive. And I heard an ad on the radio that said, "Rich Dad, Poor Dad's coming to town." You know, and I know that, you know, Rich Dad Education now is like a big seminar business. It is. I didn't know it at the time. I genuinely thought that Robert Kiyosaki was coming to town. Like, I had read Rich Dad Poor Dad in the past, and I thought Robert Kiyosaki was coming to Birmingham, and I was really excited, genuinely excited to go and try to meet him and hear him speak, but it wasn't that at all. It was a free preview to get you to buy a large, you know, real package in real estate education.
Very expensive package, yeah.
And I did it, man. Hook, line, and sinker. I just got all of a sudden just on fire for real estate. I don't know how. It's like a passion that I never knew existed. And so I just kind of went through that. So that was about late July, early August of 2012 is when I did that Rich Dad stuff. Before, so I bought the package, but before I actually went to one of their big symposium things where you actually learn like different, you know, things like wholesaling or lease options or whatever it may be, I actually took the information that they gave me in the 3-day event that cost about $200. I took that information about wholesaling because I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And I just tried it because I was on fire for it. And I just gave it a try. I gave it everything I had. I didn't have anything to do at the time because basketball season was still a couple of months away. So I just gave it everything I had for a couple of months. And I actually made $10,000, my first real estate deal on a wholesale transaction when I didn't even know what I was doing.
Brian, let's talk about that for a second, because I think, you know, there's people listening that they're finding it a challenge to kind of get going, get that momentum and close their first deal or their second deal, you know. So we all come from different walks of life. We all have different challenges, but I think the word take action is so overused, but I think the reason it's overused is because that's what you have to do. Even if you don't know what you're doing. I mean, I have a similar story when I went to a 2-day event in Atlanta, a Marketing for Deals bootcamp. I came back, I plucked out one of the letters from the manual that I got handed at the event, sent out a direct mail campaign. And 60 days later, I ended up doing my first deal, made $44,000. And I didn't know what I was doing, but I just took action and I kind of started to figure things out along the way. So tying back to your story, what was it that made you? I know you said you had a passion for it that you kind of discovered and you didn't know. Was that the key for you taking action, or is there something that you can kind of share with people that are, you know, having trouble just getting going and closing those first couple deals?
So I got they gave me a little book when I did the Rich Dad, and I read that book. I'm not talking about the book Rich Dad Poor Dad. They gave me I got it on my shelf right now. It's called Find It, Close It, Profit. Huh. It was a little manual, a little workbook thing, and it was about 150 pages. I read that in one sitting.
Wow.
That's how it was totally new to me. Like, I didn't know anything about real estate, like zero. Everything in that book was 100% new to me. And so I just, man, and it was all just super, super basic stuff that we would consider basic today, but I didn't know any of it. And I just did everything they said to do in that book. And then the guy at that workshop at the 3-day event that I paid a couple $100 for, he gave us a 15-day action plan. And I just did everything on those sheets of paper. I did it to a T. Get on Craigslist and this is 2012. So Craigslist is obviously a lot different now, but get on Craigslist and make offers and just do this and just do this. And it's just step by step of what to do. And I just did what they said to do. And Alex, listen, man, I made every mistake possible.
And that's okay.
Not even joking. Yeah. Well, I went through a lot of like embarrassment because I didn't really know how to handle a seller. I didn't really know how to handle a buyer. I didn't know how to put the deal together. Really. I told the attorney I tried to use to put this wholesale deal together had never even heard of it. And I just like, listen, could you do it? Is it illegal? Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, I guess it's not illegal. And they actually did everything for me. And then they handed me a check for $10,000. They're like, hey, that was really cool what you did. Can you teach it to us?
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And I was just like, wow. So it was, you know, answering your question, man, I just did what they told me to do and it worked.
And here's the thing, man, what I love about you sharing that is, you know, I've always told people, especially people that come to me for coaching and they have, or just questions, advice, is you're going to learn more through the experience of doing than in any course, book, any video, any podcast you listen to. You're going to pick up a lot of great content and information, but number one, it's not going to do anything for you if you don't implement it. But you're going to learn so much more just doing than listening. Or maybe I should restate that, because listening is extremely important. But what I'm trying to say is you're going to get your experience and your knowledge from actually doing what it is you're trying to do versus just trying to learn about it, if that makes sense.
So Alex, yeah, man. So you've mentioned this workshop that we went to where we met in St. Louis. I'm the kind of person where I spend money on real estate education, coaches, mentors. I think it's important, but here's kind of the caveat to that. Like, I'll go and spend some money on whatever it is, even if it's just as simple as a book. I'll spend that money and I'll consume that information, but I'm going to then put that information into practice. Mm-hmm. And if you don't do that, then you've literally just wasted your money.
Yeah.
And so I go and I make sure I take absolute passionate action. Like I give it my all. Like we've talked before about just finding just a little nugget. Even if you're listening to a podcast like this, mm-hmm. or reading a blog, watching a YouTube video, whatever it is, reading a book, whatever it is you're doing, take one nugget out of there and just try to apply it, test the market to see if it works.
There you go.
But if without application, man, you're the information you get is completely worthless.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's right. And there's a quote, I can't remember who said this. I heard this a while back, but something along the lines of, you know, progress, not perfection, right? So the stars are never going to align. Don't wait for the perfect opportunity to get into this business or to do this or do that. Just do it and you're going to figure it out along the way, you know?
I'm with you, man. Knowledge is not power. Knowledge with action is power.
Applied knowledge.
So,
yep.
Exactly. Yeah, so get to it, man. Get to it, guys.
Let's do this, Brian. I mean, one of the directions I kind of want to take the show in is, I know you're a very versatile investor. You know, you're a serial entrepreneur. And so sticking with real estate, you've done all types of deals from wholesaling to owner financing. I know, you know, one of the first things you and I spoke about at that workshop is how you picked up a mobile home park, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'd love to kind of get into some of that stuff, which I think people will find very interesting, and they'll just, I think it'll really resonate with them, because, you know, I'm someone who there's different schools of thought, right? And so I don't say that my way is the right way or the wrong way. It's just the way that I've done it. So I always kind of teach, hey, especially when you're getting started, focus on one niche, really, yes. really try to master that, versus trying to bounce around and do a bunch of different types of deals. But you're somebody that I think, you know, I heard your story before, when you got into real estate, you may have bought a 4 or a 6 unit property. And so you've been able to have success in different areas. How did you bridge that gap, right? So first of all, how did you get into the buy and hold game? And did you started buying and holding before you got into wholesaling, right?
No. Well, the first thing I ever did in real estate was that $10,000 wholesale deal.
Okay,
that's how I first learned real estate. So I went back, right, just to kind of tell you the rest of my story really quickly. I had to, as soon as we closed on that deal on October, I think it was October 1st or 2nd of 2012. Well, if you know anything about college basketball, the college first day of practice is October 15th. So I had to get down to Troy and start basketball practice. I couldn't do anything with real estate for the next 6 months because I was just consumed with basketball. Well, it was in that time where my wife, who has a phenomenal, phenomenal job. I mean, she's a pharmacist making a lot of money, where she can't just quit her job because that's our main source of income. Mm-hmm. Well, she called me crying her eyes out. She wanted to quit her job. And I was like, well, you can't quit your job. That's our income.
Yeah.
Well, that for me, I think we all need to have some sort of motivation to kind of spark you, to get you to take that action. That was for me where I decided I got to stop. I got to stop chasing this basketball thing. And I really do need to focus. I think real estate can be the vehicle. So to kind of get to the question, get to answering your question. As soon as I got back to Birmingham, the next thing I did is I took some of that profit, and then we ended up getting like a little small line of credit, mm-hmm. and we bought a 6 unit and we fixed it up. I spent the next year of my life. I kind of wasted, to be honest with you, the next year of my life fixing this thing up, getting it rented out and kind of managing it, doing a couple wholesale deals too along the way. It just ended up being a property that, because I didn't know anything about it, you know, it was my first buy and hold ever. I've since sold that property because it was a bad property, but it was a great property to learn on. And so I learned, and then just kind of from there, so I know we're probably going to talk about what I got going on here in Birmingham here in a second, but I teach right now at my local RIA that I have, I teach that you need to wholesale to get profit so you can turn that profit into passive income. Or
totally agree with you.
Or you need to fix and flip to take that profit and go by passive income. If you don't have some sort of end in sight, if you're, it's the very, very rare person that can go out there and only flip and just make his income just flipping. And that's all he wants to do. It's the rare guy that only wholesales. I don't, there are some people that have done that. They're very successful doing that. I don't recommend that.
Yeah.
I recommend that you've got to get out there and take these profits, set a certain percentage aside, like just like with marketing, you got to set a certain percentage of your profits aside to, so you can keep marketing, keep that engine rolling. Take a certain percentage aside and just build up an account and go buy passive income.
And that's Brian, what I did. Bullseye, man. And this is coming from somebody that right now is 100% wholesaling. Having said that, I have a different end game in mind, especially if you're wholesaling. It's a transactional business, right? You go out, you market, you get deals, you sell the contract, you close, you get money. Unless you get very creative with the structure of that type of deal, most of the time you're not getting paid again. It's a one-time transaction. You got to do it again. It's a volume game. And wholesaling is fantastic because you can generate a lot of money. Like it's I almost see it kind of like an ATM machine. I mean, it is a cash engine, right? You can generate a lot of money, but you know, you have to know what kind of business you want to build and what's, like Brian said, you know, what's the end game? Like, what do you really want your lifestyle to look like? Is it about spending time with family? Well, if so, you can automate the wholesaling business to a certain degree, but again, it's very challenging when it's a transactional business. Now, when you get into some of the things we've discussed on previous shows, like owner financing and generating residual income, you know, you can get involved in, you know, there's turnkey investing companies out there. We had Peter Acar a couple episodes ago talking about, you know, that kind of thing. Well, that's when you really start to gain freedom in real estate, not wholesaling. Wholesaling is fantastic because you can generate a lot of money. But like Brian, like I loved what you just said is, you know, one of the things I always talk about is taking at least 15 to 20% of your profits and putting that into marketing. Well, you should be doing the same thing so that you can generate enough capital so you can go out and purchase your own real estate. And you can also leverage private money and things like that. That's also fantastic. But I love what you talked about having an end game and not just wholesaling, because ultimately what you really have is a high paying job, you know?
No doubt about it. Yeah. Wholesaling, like you said, is transactional. And so is fix and flipping. They're both, you can't, it's the rare exception. It's the rare guy that can just do that and nothing but that forever. And I don't want to do that. I love real estate, but I don't want to sit here and work. I'm working my dang butt off right now. And it's not always going to be that way because I've got a clear goal and a clear end in sight. And I think we all need to have that. We need to have the vision and the goal.
So what is it for you right now? If you don't mind sharing, man, what's
like
the next, you know, 1, 3, 5 year plan? Like, what do you see yourself doing, you know, 12 months out to 5 years from now? Like what's that goal for you?
Yeah. So it's probably, more monetary. I want to, you know, right now, you know, I don't mind sharing this. I'm at around $10,000 a month net on my rentals.
Awesome.
And so that's a really, really steady source of income for me. And we wanted to replace my wife's income so she could quit her job, which she did recently, which I'm very, that's why I got into real estate. Mm-hmm. So as far as like buy and hold goes, I'm loving multifamily. I do have a mobile home park, like you said, like you mentioned earlier, that I absolutely love. I've got a shopping center as well. And, I've got some single family houses. I'm starting to hate my single family houses. I actually did an eviction yesterday that a set out. I'd never done a set out before. And this guy would not leave. It took 5.5 months to finally get him out. And it was just, so I'm kind of getting to the point where I don't really like my single family houses as much. I'm starting to kind of turn those into slow flips, as our friend Scott Jelinek calls it.
Yeah.
and owner finance them back to the tenants, which I'm starting to do a little bit of that now. But for me, the end game, I love teaching. I love coaching. So my background is I was coaching basketball. I was also an English teacher. I was also an adjunct English teacher, college professor. So I love to teach. It's in my nature. It's in my DNA. My dad's a teacher. His dad was a teacher. I come from a family of teachers, and I love showing people how to do things. So I've got coaching students right now in the real estate space that, the feedback they give me is, hey, you're a really good communicator. You're really good at teaching us. I love to teach action steps. Mm-hmm. I don't like to just teach theory. Like to teach. Here's step one, go do this right now. That has kind of changed the game for me as a coach and for my students is, hey, go do this, exactly this. And then they do better that way. Uh-huh. So I'm building a RIA. We started a real estate investor association right here in Birmingham that is just it's my baby. It's my full-time job right now. It's a business. And I love it. I love communicating. I love getting the support of the local, real estate investor, even the guy or gal that has been doing it for a really long time. They love our group. We built it up. We're growing every single month. Our first meeting, we had 75 people. That was just in January. That was just a few months back. Yeah. So I'm loving that right now. That's my end game is the passive income. And then just building this RIA that I love to teach. I love to coach. And that's just kind of my full-time job right now. And I love it.
Brian, what I'm sure is coming through to people listening in right now is the fire and the passion behind your voice when you talk about this kind of stuff. And I think the reason I want to highlight that is because when you're doing something that you love and you know it's your passion, it doesn't feel like work. It doesn't feel like a job. It's your, like you just said, your RIA is like your baby right now. Like that's what you're nurturing. That's what you're putting all your focus and your attention into it. And I think it's a good actual place to pivot and segue into how you're able to do that and still close a couple of deals a month. I mean, you know, one of the things that I was fortunate to be on your podcast and we talked about, you know, it's not always about growing a huge, massive team or scaling up. I think a lot of times is I just released, I think the, you know, a couple podcasts ago about scaling down, you know, so maybe you could talk about kind of your setup. Cause I know you're closing a couple, two or three deals a month and it's just you and another guy, right?
Yeah. So, I started a wholesale business, and we actually launched it, like made it official in the spring of 2014. I'd done a few deals before that, but, I listened to, you know, a lot of podcasts. I listened to a lot of people, how to do it, how to scale it, did a couple of really big deals right out of the gate. So we had a lot of money. And so if you kind of pay attention to what I was talking about earlier with my wife having a really good job, that was kind of really the driver for me to be able to scale and be able to get so much passive income so quickly is because all the profits that we made in wholesaling in the beginning, I didn't have to put towards us trying to live, you know, I could just reinvest it back in the business, reinvest it back into passive income. So what I did in spring of 2014, April, actually we're exactly 3 months or 3 years, 3 years ago. April 2014, I decided to start a wholesale business. We did a couple of really big deals right out of the gate, and we took that money and just reinvested it back into our business. We got an office space in the hottest zip code in our area for rental. This is a cash flow market, so for rentals, we got the best location possible for where we are in our market. And so we've got just huge signage all over our building, outside at the road. We buy houses just lit up everywhere. And so we're just getting a lot of foot traffic, if you can believe it.
Really?
It's great. Not now, in the beginning. In the beginning, we're getting a lot of foot traffic. Now it's obviously everybody knows we're here. We don't get it as much, but, we're getting that. I just kind of scaled it up a little bit. We had some virtual assistants. I had an acquisitions manager, I had a sales manager, and there was me just kind of running the show. Uh-huh. And so, Alex, this is what we did in about the spring of 2015, for about a 6 month period from spring of 2015 to the fall of 2015. We were on TV, we were on radio, we had billboards, we had obviously our location, we're doing direct mail, we got hiring guys to go put out bandit signs. This operation just got to be, I look back on it and it's just like, man, this thing was insane.
Yeah, it's a beast.
We had to do about between 15 and 20,000 a month just to cover the expenses.
Right, right.
And so, and we were doing that, and we're making, my profit margin was really small, but we were counting on volume. You know, we were even doing deals for just $1,000 or $2 just to be able to just kind of feed this beast, just to do volume and just to do deals.
And you know, it's stressful, right? Like when you have to cover a certain nut, and you and I both know people that, you know, I know a guy that probably has to make upwards of like 50, 60 grand just to keep the lights on. And it's like,
and Alex, he's probably not in a 1 million person market either.
Yeah,
and that was the problem for me, is that I was in a really small market trying to do all this stuff. And so October 2015, we knocked it out of the park. I think we did like 80 grand. But November, December, and January, we didn't do a deal.
Mm. What do you attribute that to? Because I've had, you know, obviously I've had similar experience in the past. So for you, what made you go from having one of your biggest months, I'm guessing, to then going 2-3 months with, you know, without being able to do a deal?
Yeah. You know, I don't have any one thing, because our numbers were really similar. We were sending out we stopped radio at that point. We had just started back TV. There's nothing just absolutely. We had the same amount of leads coming in, for maybe just a dip just a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't know. A lot of it might have had to do with me, because I was starting a new venture at the time. So there wasn't the lead. There wasn't the airtight leadership that there was. Mm. That's right when I bought my mobile home park. And so a lot of my attention, I had to turn it around. A lot of my attention, I was there at 7 o'clock every morning until 5-6 o'clock at night trying to turn around this mobile home park. I thought I had this beast of a machine just running and running and running. And then you kind of realize, I think you talked about accountability. We had very, very poor systems set up for accountability.
Yeah.
And follow up. And so, but you know, I learned a lot through that. I learned that I didn't want to ever have $15,000 to $20,000 with overhead ever again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so we just, right then, we kind of scaled back. We still had a secretary in the office. We still had our acquisitions manager. And so right now it's just me and him. And I throw the money at the marketing. He kind of does everything. Now we've been doing that for about a year and a half now. We'll do a deal or two a month. It's nothing crazy. It's really more for him. I end up netting about 50%. When before, my margins were about, you know, 15-20%. So
wow, yeah. Yeah.
So that's kind of how the wholesale business has gone. But what's going on right now though is that I'm doing deals with my coaching students. I'm doing deals. I'm facilitating at my RIA and getting profit splits through that. And so that's what I found for me to be a little bit more effective with my time, where we still have our wholesale business, but I don't really give it as much attention as I did in the past. I let kind of someone else manage that.
And that's the exciting part for me, Brian, is that, you know, we've talked about already, we've beat the horse where you don't need a big team. If you can just find one person, right, the right person, it frees you up to now do the things, like in your case, you're passionate about growing and monetizing your RIA, providing value, and it's giving you an outlet to now do deals through your students and through the people that are a member of your RIA, right? And if you didn't have that person, that might not be possible, because now you're stuck in the trenches in your real estate business. So ultimately, like, if you want to grow and scale, you are going to need to be the leader that your business needs. You got to surround yourself with people, but it doesn't have to be a lot of people. You don't have to grow this monster business with this huge overhead where, you know, you have to do X amount of deals just to like keep the lights on and cover the overhead. I think it all boils down to, you know, a mutual friend of ours, Sean McCloskey, you know, teaches and has a company called Life in Air. And it's all about understanding, like, what's the vision you want for your life, and then go out and build a business around it. I think so many people have that equation reversed, where they're so focused on money and business, and then they try to plug in their life around it, when for a lot of people, that's not really how it should be, right? And I think if you just gain that clarity and perspective on what you want, now you can go out and build that type of business to support that lifestyle you want.
No, man, you definitely hit it on the head right there. That's very important. And I do, you know, just for a second, I want to give a huge, you know, thank you and shout out to Samuel Mentor. And he's the guy that I've kind of put in charge of this wholesale business. And I couldn't do it without him. And surrounding yourself with people like that, people that you can trust, great people, is key in this business. It's really key in any business.
Yeah.
But definitely real estate is such a relationship oriented business.
That's great, man. Let me ask you this before we kind of start to wind down and wrap this up. From a marketing perspective, I know you guys are doing 1-2 deals a month. What's your main marketing channel that's producing those deals for you?
Yeah, we do nothing but postcards and direct mail. I teach my coaching students to not do that in the beginning because you can throw a lot of money at direct mail and it yields you zero.
Yeah.
And you don't want your students to quit if they threw a bunch of money at marketing and they didn't get a deal because they're probably going to quit.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't do that. I don't teach that, but we do nothing but direct mail. What I teach my coaching students though is bandit signs in Birmingham are really effective. Really, really, really effective. I'm just too lazy to do it anymore. I feel like I paid my dues and I was doing it at 3:00 in the morning on Friday night, you know, or early Saturday mornings for a couple of years. And I'm so over that, but I teach it and bandit signs are super effective. Just as effective actually as direct mail. It's just the direct mail. It's a little costlier, but it's easy. It's super, super easy just to throw money at it.
Yeah. And with direct mail, you can scale up, as you know, obviously with direct mail, you know, if you have the marketing budget behind it, or if you can do one of the things I teach is partner up with people that have the money but don't have the time, have them pay for the marketing, and now you and your team can work the leads and you guys come up with a certain percentage, you know, what I call a JV marketing partner. So
that's cool.
That's the cool thing about direct mail is you can scale up or scale down with it. One of the things I wanted to bring up, I heard you on another podcast and you mentioned that you have a couple places where you get free lists that you then send direct mail to.
Yeah, well, just Freedom of Information Act. We really, really kind of beat that horse, you know, as far as getting free lists. When I say free, it's relatively free. It's you got to pay for like the cost of to print the piece of paper. I mean, it's very, very, very cheap.
Okay.
To get code violation lists, probate lists here locally, late tax delinquent type of lists.
Where exactly do you get those lists?
Just through your local municipality. You have to fill out a Freedom of Information form that we just kind of really just developed on our own. I'll be glad to share it with you. It's nothing special. We just fill out a form. A lot of them have their own forms.
Yeah.
So when we make initial contact with because we have a ton, I'm sure Miami's this way too. We have a ton of little municipalities we've got Birmingham City, obviously, but there are a lot of little towns around Birmingham that have their own city halls or whatever. So we have to get these lists through each one of them. And that's just what we do. We contact them. We'll either make an initial phone call or send an email saying just something like, hey, we want to try to, through the Freedom of Information Act, we'd like to try to obtain whatever list it is, code violations, whatever you're trying to target. We'd like to get this list. What is the best method for submitting a request? Do you have a form? Can we just speak through email or through phone? What's the best method? And they'll tell you. We have one municipality here around Birmingham that's very difficult to work with. And not because they're unwilling, it's because they don't have anything on the computer at all. We literally have to go down there and go through their files, which they let us do, but we have to go through their files and kind of key it in our computer, our laptops, as we're going through their actual files. And Alex, this is that's the hottest zip code, one of the hottest zip codes in America, actually, for rentals. For cash flowing rental property, it's one of the hottest zip codes in all of America, and not. I hope no one from Alabama is listening to this. Never said that before.
There's a chance they might, man.
but we go down there and we just have to, we take pictures of the code violation. Dude, so listen, man. So there's like this huge file folder for each address. And so we have to open up this file folder and there's like stuff back from the 80s, 70s and 80s that we don't want any of that. We want the newest stuff and we have to take a picture of it or whatever we do, you know, put it on our laptop. And it's really crazy. But through the Freedom of Information Act, you can get like anything. You always hear about how the government will have like emails from other government employees. As long as it's not classified information, there are a couple, I think there's like, if you go research it, there's like seven things that you cannot get. and it's super, super like classified type of stuff. You can get anything. You get email chain from you know, at like your local university. You can get, because it's a public university, you can get email chains back and forth just through submitting Freedom of Information Act requests.
That's a really cool tip, man. Thanks for sharing that. So, dude, here's a question I like to typically end the show with. So I want you to give me your kind of raw, unfiltered answer. That the first thing that kind of comes to the top of your mind is... I don't know how old you are, but rewind the clock 10, 15, 20 years. You know, what's the one piece of advice you would give the 20-year-old Brian Tripp? Like, what's the one thing you would, and it could be, this could be about business, this could be about life. Just what's that one piece of advice that, knowing what you know now, you would tell yourself if you could rewind the clock 10 to 20 years?
So, and I've never heard this question before, by the way, but genuinely my answer, I can come up with something if you want me to, but my answer is I was so hard-headed. I was such a know-it-all. There is no possible way I could rewind the clock 15, 20 years. I'm 37 now. So if you go back 15 years, I'm 22, still in college. I could not have said anything to myself to where I would actually listen. I was doing things on my own terms. I didn't care about anybody. I was really super selfish. And it took, and I mentioned this earlier about a basketball coach. His name's Mike Davis. If you know anything about basketball, he used to be the head coach at Indiana. Then he was the head coach at UAB. He's currently over at Texas Southern. And they've had super success. They were in the NCAA tournament this year. They've been in the NCAA tournament three out of 5 years that he's been there. He has been kind of a father figure to me, where teaching me self-accountability, work ethic, like what work ethic is. I mean, just something that simple. I would not have listened to anyone. I had to figure it out on my own. And that's just being honest with you. If I couldn't figure it out on my own, you could have told me over and over, don't do this, don't do this, don't put your hand on the stove. And I'm like, well, I'm going to put my hand on the stove just to see for myself if it actually is hot. Yeah. You know, that's the kind of idiot I used to be. And so there are some people that it doesn't matter what you say to them, because it's not about words. It's going to be more about your actions around those people. I would have to develop a friendship. My new self, or to my today self with my old self, I'd have to develop some sort of relationship with him to actually get in so he would actually hear me and hear the words. But man, it really goes back to work ethic. If you think you know what work ethic is, I'm going to challenge you right now. Even Alex, I'm going to challenge you, man.
Please do.
Just look at yourself in the mirror, man, and you know, what kind of hours are you putting in, and are they quality hours? You know, what kind of, I know lifestyle is important, and it's important to all of us in real estate, but where are you with work ethic? Are you the first one in and the last one to leave? You know, are you the one setting the example and setting the bar for people around you? And that's what I had to learn. And it's like sales. It's a skill. You can learn it. It's not whether it's in you or not. You can learn to do this, because I'm the perfect example. I was the laziest person in the world. And I've learned, I put in 12, 14, 16 hour days in the beginning. And even now, really, to an extent, I put in that work. So if you are new and you are trying to get started in real estate, you can have super, super success in real estate. There's no question about it. But you're not going to have success if you don't outwork the guy next to you. I'm dead serious. You got to. If you think work ethic is coming into your office and, you know, working for 2 or 3 hours and then watching, then having a little 30-minute escape, watching some YouTube cat videos or whatever you're going to, I mean, I'm serious. People do this, Alex, and they think, they wonder why they are not where they want to be. And to be honest with you, some people don't want that. Some people don't want to work that hard, and they want it a little bit easier, and that's fine. If you're happy where you are, that's fine. Don't change. But if you're unhappy and you're complaining and you're unhappy with where you are, then do something about it. It's up to you. It's 100% up to you.
Brian, there is so much to piggyback on there. And I know, you know, I want to, before we end the show, I want you to talk a little bit about your podcast and where people can reach out to you. But before we do that, I know when you had me on your show, one of our you know, one of the guys that we really look up to and admire and follow, you know, is Gary Vaynerchuk. And he talks a lot about self-awareness, and he talks so much about the hustle and the grind and outworking people around you. And there's so much to be said for that, because, you know, we live in, with technology changing and with all the opportunity, the internet and just everything that we have around us, you better believe, like Mark Cuban talks about, is there's somebody on the other side of the world, or maybe even your next door neighbor, that is working to put you out of business. And so, yes, you know, you don't want to be so cynical and then you think that people are out for you. But what he's trying to say is that you need to hustle your ass off. You need to work. And yeah, it's about lifestyle. So you don't want to sacrifice your family and the things that you love and the things that you're passionate about, but you got to put in that time and effort to get to a point. You know, you got to do the things that most people aren't willing to do to get the things that most people can't have, right? I kind of restated that famous quote or that saying. So I absolutely love what you said, that, you know, people, we live in a microwave society, Brian. I think that people want instant gratification like yesterday. We live in this microwave world where, you know, they don't want to have to put in all that work to get everything that they want out of life. And it doesn't work that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, there's no question about it. And that's why it's like 3 to 5% of the population. And I'm not exaggerating those numbers. It's the minority. It's the gigantic minority that actually will put in the work. And to be honest with you, there are a lot of people out there that know. They know what to do. They know what they need to do. They know what they need to change. They just don't know how to change it. Mm-hmm. Or they won't take the steps to change it. It's like someone trying to quit smoking. Well, I would just challenge you, just go cold turkey and just stop. It's very, very okay. So I'm going to tell you something. I mentioned Mike Davis. This is the thing that changed my life, is when he said this. Alex, people do not change. Okay, people do not change. You are who you are. The only way someone can actually change is to go through some sort of tragedy, some sort of just awakening, and something has to happen to you in your life to actually. It may be the hardest thing in the world to do, is to change.
Yeah,
because you're comfortable. Even if you're up to your eyeballs in debt, you're actually probably comfortable with that debt. You've created a comfort around you. And I know we got to go, I know time's short, but I would just challenge you, look, make today the day. Make today the day that you're going to change. And the person that's listening to this, you know who you are. You know who you are. You know that this is for you. Make today the day that you got to make that change. And you know what it is. If you got to get to the gym, if you got whatever it is in your life that you want to change, do it now. Do it today. Don't wait. We're not promised tomorrow.
Fantastic advice, man. Well, listen, on that note, where can people reach out to you? I know you recently launched a podcast that's, you know, it's very niched and focused on Alabama real estate. So anybody listening in, or even if you're not in Alabama, Brian, just he provides a lot of great content. He's got a very giving heart, as you can tell here. And the guy just knows his stuff. So yeah, Brian, man, tell us a little bit about your podcast and where people can reach out to you to kind of find out more about the different things that you have going on.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you for the opportunity, Alex. The Alaria Masterclass podcast. It's Alaria, Alaria. It's the Alabama Real Estate Investor Association. We've just kind of developed this mountain, this cloud of just content around our RIA, our local RIA that we launched back in January. So we've got a daily real estate show that's on our YouTube page. If you just search Alaria, you'll see our daily real estate show. We follow other local investors around and kind of do some videos about, and it's really more educational type of stuff. So it's really, really cool. It is specific to Birmingham, Huntsville, Montgomery, kind of Alabama, but there's some really cool stuff on there. We've had some really good guests. We have the podcast that we launched. You can find us on iTunes or anywhere else that you download podcasts, Stitcher, wherever it is. And then we've got our meetings. Our monthly meetings are the second Thursday of every month. So if you're listening to this, you're in or around Birmingham. And in Birmingham, our meetings are the second Thursday night of every month. And our location changes. So check our website. The best way to get in contact with me is to get on the website, alaria.com, A-L-A-R-E-I-A. Or you can just shoot me an email, info@alaria.com.
Beautiful, man. And guys, we'll have all these links and a link to Brian's podcast in the show notes page. Highly encourage you guys to check it out. Support him because he's putting out a lot of great content and information and things that can really help and impact your business. So, Brian, man, I want to acknowledge you. I appreciate you jumping on the show, man. It was a pleasure getting to know you, five, 6 months ago at that workshop. You and I were talking on your show. Anytime I think of real estate in Alabama, like, you're the first person that comes to mind, and that we can do a whole separate topic and show on just that one component alone. But this business is all about relationships. It's all about surrounding yourself with just cool people that have similar mindset and just the attitude to give. And so I want to acknowledge you, and I appreciate you for everything you're doing, man. And so, guys, again, I appreciate you listening as well to another masterclass. Make sure to tune in for this Thursday's Q&A show. I'm going to be covering a topic that a lot of people have been reaching out to me about. I think you're really going to enjoy this one. So, Brian, man, again, thank you for the time. And if you have any parting words, now's the time. Otherwise, we can wrap it up here.
No, man. Thank you so much, Alex. I appreciate your friendship in this business, and I appreciate you. I love your show. I think your show is phenomenal. Guys, make sure you subscribe to Alex's show. It's just absolutely one of the best ones I've listened to. I'm not even just saying that. It's one of the best ones I've listened to. Go subscribe to his show right now and listen to it. Thank you for the opportunity, Alex.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon.
All right. Cool, man.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.